Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at tricountycontractingwi.com. And my favorite part is when you have all of these scientists, all of these engineers, all of these physicians, these mathematicians that are working so hard to make this happen, just throw out a good old-fashioned party and start cheering and stuff afterward. Let's get... Just dancing.
You added that.
Nerds kissing nerds. Chairs awesome. Are being thrown.
Right, this is their Super Bowl. They just won the Super Bowl.
Protractors are being broken and tossed.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Petrano.
You know that Vietnam-era fighter jet that now sits at the entrance to Milwaukee Mitchell? Now you see it when you're driving in, right before you hit the pickup drop-off zone?
Yeah, it's neat.
The white zone is for... There's an extraordinary story behind it that we are bringing to light once again here on WTMJ, launching a new WTMJ Cares initiative this week to save that important piece of U.S. military and Milwaukee history. Lance Sijon graduated from Bayview High School and then the Air Force Academy. And on a cold, dark day in the middle of the Vietnam War, his 52nd combat mission became his last. His sister talked with WTMJ's John Mercier about Sijon's struggle for survival.
November 9th, 1967, Bayview's Lance Sijon's mission goes terribly wrong. His F-4 crashes in the jungle, smashing into the canopy and then the floor of that jungle. He's knocked unconscious, severely injured. A compound fracture, a fractured skull, a mangled wrist, unable to move virtually at all.
For 46 days, Lance crawled through the jungle on his backside. No food, no water. No medical attention.
The elements and the animals attacked him relentlessly.
When he would awake, he would be covered by leeches, which were then attracting the rats, which began to devour his body.
After 46 days, he passed out on a road after emerging from the jungle and was finally captured.
6'2", 220-pound Lance was so emaciated that he was 60 pounds, and 80% of his body was open flesh.
He was taken to a bamboo prison in the middle of the jungle. They left him there unguarded because they thought he was so severely wounded that he was no threat to leave. He had other plans.
And in that condition, Lance motioned with a hand motion for the guard to come down closer to Lance's mouth so that he could whisper something. When the guard came down, Lance knocked him out with a karate chop, and he pulled himself backward back into the jungle. It took a village a half a day to find Lance.
Recaptured, he refused to answer their questions, refused to give in on the code of conduct.
Lance kept saying, "I can't tell you anything. It's against the code. I can't tell you anything."
Lance was beaten mercilessly, beatings that would continue the rest of his short life.
It's a chilling story. Lance Sijon was eventually beaten to death by his captors. He was later awarded the Medal of Honor. Part of his legacy is that replica of his fighter jet at our airport. And right now, here's the new effort. It needs to be painted and repaired, or we're going to lose it. And if you'd like to contribute to help restore our hero's plane and legacy, you can text the word Lance to 855-616-1620. That's Lance to 855-616-1620.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk.
Now, it doesn't happen often.
No other way to say it.
Oh, God. It was a good old-fashioned
Especially since
one.
You're on the bay there. Perfect. Yeah, right?
Boat race.
It was good old-fashioned log roll. Brewers fall to the Giants 13-2. Game was never close.
Mike Yastrzemski reaches down and hits a sweeper out of the ballpark for a three-run homer. 8-0 San Francisco.
Yeah, that was the second inning.
Oh.
Absolute cannonballing. That's what it was. You can go to bed early at least. Even the Giants PA guy knew that it was a boat race. Listen back. So here's the Yastrzemski homer again. Listen in the background here.
2-2 coming.
All right, listen
Line
for
to
it.
Right. Right this here. One is trouble. It is way back and gone.
Hear it?
Mike Yastrzemski.
They fired off their own Bodor. They knew the game was over. 13-2. Colin Ray struggled. 4 innings, 10 runs. He falls to 12-5 for the season. Now, we do have good news, however. The Cubs did lose also. They lost to the Dodgers. That means the new magic number to clinch the NL Central is going down.
Well, that'd be 8, Eric.
Thank you, Greg. So, 8, your new magic number to clinch. Same teams tonight right here on WTMJ.
Today is Thursday. Last time we saw Packers quarterback Jordan Love was nearly a week ago when he was getting helped off the field in Sao Paulo, Brazil. What looked like in the moment could be a season-ending injury turns out likely to be far less severe. How much less severe? Apparently still an open question as we're just days away from the Packers' next game.
You left the door open for Jordan on Monday. Is that door any more or less open here today?
I'd say it's pretty open.
Packers head coach Matt LaFleur, I don't know if he's serious, still not ruling Love out for Sunday's game.
Our guys have done a great job with him, Flea and Nate, and all our athletic trainers, our strength staff. But at the same time, like I told you guys, he's got to be cleared. We got to feel like he can protect himself, and he's got to be confident enough to go out there and do that. Until that happens, then we're not even going to think about that.
So as far as Malik Willis goes, what did Jen Latta say? ESPN's Jen Latta said she's spoken to people in Tennessee.
Multiple people with the Titans program from whom we got him, right? We traded for him. And what was her line? One guy told her he struggles with football.
Yes, like cannot grasp football, right. The concept of the game.
Great arm on the kid. My goodness.
Oh, boy.
So Packers and Colts, noon kick Sunday at Lambeau Field.
Oh, yes, they're cheering in Cape Canaveral. They're cheering in Mission Control. They're cheering in space, probably.
But you history. Can't hear them in the vacuum of space.
You cannot. But history was made. A short time ago, as you were getting up, eating your Cheerios, something amazing was happening off-planet.
The four-member crew that lifted off from Florida's Kennedy Space Center Wednesday settled into orbit aboard the SpaceX Crew Dragon for today's mission highlight.
SpaceX is go for spacewalk operations. Report advisory.
One at a time, Jared Isaacman and Sarah Gillis stood in the hatchway to test out a new spacesuit design. Before he climbed back inside, Isaacman, who funded the mission, took a look at the Earth.
It's gorgeous.
Jim Ryan, ABC News.
Actually, it was pretty incredible to watch, just because it was so clear. The video, it was happening in real time, and we were watching it. It was happening during the show about an hour and a half ago. And what was so neat about it was just like seeing him. They had an outside camera showing him come out of the hatch. So you see this guy in spacesuits, right, climbing out of the hatch, and you can see the Earth behind him in all of its beautiful glory. Just so neat.
And then the whole rest of the universe.
Right. Because they even showed that when they first opened the hatch, they showed a camera shot looking out of the hatch. Nothing.
That's the universe.
All right. So this was the first ever commercial spacewalk carried out this morning by SpaceX. Why is this such a big deal, space consultant Bill Harwood?
They're trying to come up with a lower cost, more comfortable, easier to manufacture spacesuits for eventual flights to the moon and Mars, and this is a very small step in that direction, but it's a major step. They've hit it out of the park. No problems at all.
And my favorite part is when you have all of these scientists, all of these engineers, all of these physicians, these mathematicians that are working so hard to make this happen, just throw out a good old-fashioned party and start cheering and stuff afterward. Let's get... Just dancing.
You added that.
Nerds kissing nerds. Chairs awesome. Are being thrown.
Right, this is their Super Bowl. They just won the Super Bowl.
Protractors are being broken and tossed. Oh, yes, they're dancing.
They're throwing compasses at the dartboard.
Taking off the tape off their glasses. All of the celebrating that's taking place today. So congratulations to all of them today. Pretty neat moment.
News About Your Money this morning, WTMJ Annex Wealth Management Market Update. Dow Jones Industrial Average climbed about 125 points in trading on Wednesday to close at 40,862. The NASDAQ at 17,396 was up more than 2%, and the S&P 500 up about 59 points to 55.54. Financial planning at every level. Annex Comprehensive Wealth, Annex Private Client, Annex Ignite. Details at annexwealth.com. Hey, a special today. We've got Brewers analyst and former pitcher Tim Dillard joining us for Brewers 360. That cat's always got something interesting to say. We're going to do that at 7:45.
Pilot Emily Weiprud was at the controls of that Alaska Airlines flight last January. Remember this one where the door fell off?
Yeah.
16,000 feet in the air. She radioed for help, checked on her crew. Passengers were shocked. She never even knew it was actually happening.
An Alaska Airlines pilot tells CBS she felt the cabin quickly depressurize.
There was a loud bang.
And knew immediately something was wrong.
My body was forced forward.
We are depressurized.
I heard whole four, five empty seats.
Remarkably, no one was sitting next to that door panel.
I was in shock.
Investigators say the plane left the factory without four bolts that hold the door panel in place. The incident prompted a wide-scale investigation into Boeing.
That's ABC's Rana Nally. Yeah, this was a CBS story. They're the ones that talked to her. So yeah, she actually knew about the depressurization, but they weren't really alerted about the door until later. They're like, what is going on back there? That's when they realized that they were losing seats. After that door blew off.
I guess if you're the pilot in that situation, doesn't matter why. It only matters what's happening, and you got to get that plane
right,
on the ground.
Yeah, right, of course,
so we'll figure it out later. But yeah, you would think.
Yeah, like, crazy.
Oh, by the way, the door's off.
There's not a little light that flashes saying door off.
Bing, right, like on your door, like on your
yes,
dashboard.
Yeah. You have a dash that says your door's ajar.
Looks like we got a door open here.
And you don't know which one. You're looking around right for it. Seven passengers and a flight attendant suffered minor injuries, but no one was killed, thankfully.
This news report brought to you by Steinhoffels. Visit them at steinhoffels.com. A little bit more information about the search for an arsonist in Madison. This is the guy accused of setting a couple of dumpster fires as well as torching a home. It's kind of like one of those classic Madison situations. It's a few blocks from the Capitol, but it was housing six UW students. So it was kind of like a home that was converted to sort of apartments or
right,
whatever.
Right.
But four of those students are from our area. I know one of the families involved. Dad reached out to me yesterday. He's like, look, Carly and a bunch of her roommates here, they're out of their house. They think they can't ever live there again, or at least not this school year. They've got no place to stay. All their stuff is burned. Unfortunately, they're all okay, but they're working through this right now. They're trying to get to class. She's a nursing student, trying to go about her schooling, and then wondering where they're going to live. She said like it was really hard because everything's rented now. It's a couple weeks into the school year.
Finding a place to live right now in that area is virtually impossible.
So there's getting through the short term of where do we stay tonight, and then where are we going to stay for the rest of the school year? Oh, by the way, got to keep going to class and all of that. So they're sorting through that. As I mentioned, they're searching for an arsonist. Madison police believe these fires were intentionally set, and they do have a person of interest. His picture is up online along with our coverage of this story. That includes a GoFundMe page for the young Badgers there. Three of them, I think, from Franklin, one from Muskego, another one from the Madison area, and then a friend of theirs from Minnesota. But if you want to help, that's up there as well. You can text FIRE to 855-616-1620, and we can send you the link. Brewers analyst Tim Dillard, our guest on Brewers 360 next.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk.
Two words describe the game on Wednesday night.
Boat race.
Yeah. There's another two words you could use.
Barrel roll.
Yeah, either way. Rough one for the crew. They fall to the Giants 13-2. Same teams tonight right here on WTMJ.
Brewers 360 is sponsored by Holiday Automotive. And a treat this morning, we're talking with Brewers analyst Tim Dillard. Morning, Tim.
Hey, good morning. Very early here. You guys know that?
You're out west, hey?
Oh, man.
5:45 Pacific time. Sorry, my friend.
No, this is great. This is great. A lot to talk about. Last night's game was, you don't see many of them like that, especially out at Oracle Park. You know, it's a big field. You don't see a lot of runs, but the Giants had it working.
I always thought it was interesting. I was just saying to Eric, Tim, Colin Ray's pitching line, four innings pitched, 11 hits, 10 earned runs, but just one walk. So dude just got raked. I mean, he just got hit hard.
He did. Stuff didn't go at anybody, right? Like, everything that was hit was just, there was nobody standing there. And I've been on the mound when that happens. You're just kind of like, how come I can't get the ball to go to anybody?
Right.
It was a very aggressive offense. I don't think they were waiting around. I think they looked at the scouting report and were like, this guy doesn't walk a lot of people. He fills up the zone. So, you know, we're going to be hacking. That's exactly what happened.
So Vince hasn't been feeling good lately because of the way the team has kind of been playing. There's been a little bit of a scuffle.
Swoon.
Yes. How concerning has this swoon been, and should we be freaking out?
Yeah, go ahead and freak out. Surely. Yeah, panic. Find the button. Everything. No. It's baseball. It's part of it. What are they, 3-6 right now in September, just off the top of my head? You know, sometimes you hit these things, and they've had some very intense series where, you know, things are really high, really big, and I don't know. I think they're just trying to – I think they see what's coming, and they're just trying to get back to the way they play the game. You know, one of the things that they do really well is they walk and they steal bases. And right now, kind of during this, what you're talking about, you know, not playing their best per se, the stolen bases are down, and so are the walks. They're running into some good pitching. I mean, Blake Snell was on the mound yesterday, and this guy was pumping 97, 98, pretty much anywhere he wanted, and C.B. Buckner was calling everything a strike, no matter where it was. And that's tough to compete with when you have guys like that, and it's not going to get any easier. I mean, when they play in the Phillies, you might see a Wheeler or a Nola. So there's, you know, there's some big games coming up, and they know that. They know that. They know what the schedule is. They're worried about the actual game, but at the same time, they know it's September. Their bodies tell them that probably every time they get up.
Talking with Brewers analyst Tim Dillard, former pitcher in the major leagues. Tim, think about Jake Bowers, position player called upon to pitch. He goes a full inning, actually got himself a strikeout.
Yeah, first strikeout ever.
What kind of situation is that? Those position guys love to come in and just lob a few in there once in a while, right?
Well, I don't think they want to be out there. It's never a good sign when they're out there, one way or the other. But it brings a little levity. Like, you know, sometimes you just get beat, and you need to look for some silver linings. You need to look for some things to grab onto. And the Brewers have some stuff they could feel good about. Hobie Milner threw the ball fantastic when he came in. Garrett Mitchell off the bench looked really good. I think he was robbed of a double, very interesting double. Andre Monasterio was fantastic defense and swinging the bat. And then Bowers, you look for the silver lining with all of this kind of stuff. And he had fun with it, threw strikes, gave up some doubles, gave up some runs, but got his strikeout. And he's been on the bump before. So once you're in that exclusive club, man, your name gets put on there. You get a strikeout. That's why he was very adamant about, like, let's save that ball, man.
Yeah,
put
right?
a sticker on it. I want that in my locker. That means a lot. So if we're going to go through this whole game and I'm called upon to do this, I'm going to turn something, you know, good from it. And maybe it is the strikeout. But either way, you have to have a sense of humor because there's so many games in baseball. So he did right. He threw strikes, and I'm good for him. Good for him. You get a strikeout in the big leagues. It's a big deal.
So who was the craftiest position player that you ever played with that could just throw dirt?
Oof. You know, I had a number of shortstops that would goof off during batting practice and jump on the bump. I remember Orlando Arcia would jump on the bump and throw, and he was throwing like upper 90s. I mean, just could throw fuzz. He probably couldn't hold a runner, though, just judging by his mechanics.
Kind of all over the place, right?
Yeah. And I had a number of outfielders. Brett Phillips comes to mind. I remember one time I forgot where we were, but you could see the miles per hour in the Jumbotron. So anytime you're at a place that will do that, you know, it's just whoever feels good that day is going to try to put up some big numbers, and he could put up big numbers.
Is there an equivalent?
So I'm not surprised that.
Is there an equivalent going the other way, Tim, where like you're like, oh, this pitcher could play left field for sure?
Yeah, there are some guys. I'm actually quite disappointed in my career because I was drafted twice as a catcher, and I felt like I could play, you know, almost every position, but I was never involved in a game where I got to I got to get out in the field. I remember there was a
pinch hit.
Pinch hit. I did get a pinch hit. Don Money pinch hit me. I think 2009, first game of the season, he had used everybody. He liked the double switch and everything else. He used everybody by the sixth inning, and he went around. He was trying to find different pitchers, but none of those guys wore their spikes or had their jersey on. I was the only guy that qualified.
I'm up what?
Yeah, I knew better.
No, you're hitting.
Everybody was like, why don't you? I was a starter, but they're like, why don't you get your spikes and jersey on? I was like, for this reason, man.
Awesome.
Yeah, got me a knock. I was in the dugout yesterday. We were talking to Sal Frelick, who had fouled a ball off his leg, and we were just talking about hitting and things like that. And I said, yeah, I was in Double A when pitchers start to hit for the first time back in the day, and I'd seen guys foul the ball off their foot, but it never happened to me in high school, never happened to me in college. And I remember I hit a ball off my leg. And Dave Yeager, who's a trainer in the big leagues now, he was my trainer in Double A. He came running out there, and he's like, you all right? And I was like, just cut my leg off.
It hurts, man.
And Sal's just laughing. And I was like, I do have an appreciation for it, when I see it. I didn't before, because I'm like, how bad could that be? It just, you feel like your pain threshold when you do something like that, your mind just tells you that you are very hurt. Like, your mind, whatever is rushing through your body, you're like, this is a big injury, and it just takes some time to get used to it. And Sal was laughing. He's like, yeah, man. And I was like, I'm pretty sure I still got a dent on my shin where it happened. So I don't think I was encouraging to him at all, but we got a good laugh out of it.
Brewers analyst Tim Dillard up early with us good this time. Morning. Really appreciate
Thanks,
it,
bud.
Tim.
Yeah, you got it, boys. Enjoy the morning.
Brewers and Giants, one more tonight, 8:45, first pitch.
3-2 pitch. Struck him out swinging. Jake Bowers got his first big league K, and he keeps the baseball. Atta baby, Jake.
Idea Man.
I can conjugate the verb to be.
Innovative.
Eu sou, ele é, nós somos, ele são. I can do that all day, but I couldn't tell you five other words in the Portuguese language.
Isn't that funny?
And Packers Hall of Famer.
I don't know what the rationale is, but if you talk to pretty much any Wisconsin football player that has played in the past, they're going to tell you that they have taken at least a semester of Portuguese.
It's time for Tausch on Wisconsin's Morning News. Presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin and Kohler Services.
Mark Tauscher on Wisconsin's Morning News is sponsored by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Probably should spend some time talking about Alabama, Tausch.
Alabama? Yeah, it's
Alabama, sir! And what do we say?
All right, you were saying?
We're not going to be saying that. Yeah. We won't be saying that this weekend, hopefully. So I think from a fan standpoint, and I know Barry Alvarez was the athletic director when this game got scheduled, I'd be curious if Mac still thinks this is a good idea come Saturday night. But this is what, we did our show with Coach Fickell last night, and, the points that he kept reiterating is, A, it's great for your fan base, and, you get – a big-time program. The first time an SEC team has come into Camp Randall, I think since the 80s. And since Alabama was 1928 was the last time Alabama came up to Camp Randall. So the best part of this is the players get to test themselves against one of, if not the best programs in the entire country. So you always, when you're recruiting guys, you want to give them big moments and big opportunities to showcase what they're all about. And Saturday at 11 o'clock, the boys are going to get tested in a big way because Alabama, while Nick Saban is no longer there, there is a lot of NFL talent on that roster that our Wisconsin Badgers are going to be tested in a big way.
Are they, Tausch, I mean, they're fourth-ranked team in the land. Are they in a different tier than a Wisconsin right now? I mean, Big Ten teams are capable of winning a national championship. You just saw it with Michigan last year. So I don't like the suggestion that the SEC is somehow an entity unto itself. That said, a lot of our guys, pound for pound, might get outclassed on Saturday.
Well, and that's what we'll find out. Obviously, when you just look at the history of the last 20 years, Alabama's been the best. They have been the gold standard for college football. That was under Nick Saban. There's a whole new era of college football with transfer portals and NIL, and so it's not the same. But they're the top part of the SEC and Ohio State. They play by, let's just say it nicely. They play by different rules than some other people. So I think there's always that part of it. And then the talent and everything else, you're going to have a lot of challenges when you play those schools. But you know what? That's what makes this awesome. When you can pull off a big upset, a big victory like that, it even means, the SEC says it means more. Well, it does mean more if you find a way to beat one of the big boys from the SEC when they come up by you, because that can be one of those springboarding deals for your season if you find a way to get that done.
Are we in this ball game?
Man, I certainly hope we're. So, yes, I do believe we'll be in this ball game. I think we're heavy underdogs, but this will be a big test, and we will have to play a lot better than what we have. This is not exactly splitting the atom, this analysis I'm going to give you here, but we're going to have to play a lot better than we did the last 2 weeks if we're going to beat the Alabama Crimson Tide.
Oh, we're going to roll some tide. That's what's going to happen.
Yes.
Roll over some tide.
Thanks, Tosh.
You bet.
And what is that name, Mr. Cobb? Alabama! And what do we say?